last year when we were in Nashville sharing the gospel with Buddhists and Hindus and Muslims, I had the privilege of sitting in a Muslim mosque with their teacher and converse with him about Christ. He tried to share with us about the Muslim faith, and God gave me the privilege of sharing with him about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I shared him the verses that are in our text today, John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life." Now, I shared with him, I said, "Now, as a Muslim, you believe in the writings of Moses." And he says, "We do." And I said, "Well, Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness. And he lifted up a serpent in the wilderness so that those that looked at the serpent upon the pole could live. And those who did not look at the serpent upon the pole, they died." And I said, "And the word of God says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And I shared with him about how Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that the Father gave the Son of God up to be crucified for our sins. And he said, "I don't see how a father giving his son could be an act of love." And I said, "It's the greatest act of love this world has ever seen." I'm glad that Karen sang that song. There is no greater love than the Son of God dying on the cross for our sins. I want us to go back and briefly look at the story of Moses and the children of Israel in the wilderness in Numbers chapter 21. I'm going to try to read it hurriedly. "When the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was coming by the way of Atharim, then he fought against Israel and took some of them captive. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, 'If you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities.' And the Lord heard the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. Then they utterly destroyed them and their cities. Thus the name of the place was called Hormah. Then, after that, they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey." Now, you understand, the children of Israel were in the wilderness in the first place because of their sin and their failure to trust God. God was leading them into the promised land, straight out of Egypt into the promised land, what would have been a relatively short journey. And when they got to the promised land, they sent spies over in to see what they were going to go in to take care of. And the spies came back with a bad report. And they said, "We cannot go over there and defeat them. These are giants in the land." And they refused to do what God had told them to do. They sinned against God by not believing that God would give them the victory. And God said, "Because of your sin, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And they did. This is part of their wandering. And they were wandering in the wilderness, and they'd seen again the mighty hand of God. And you remember how God was feeding them along the way by manna from heaven. Every morning they would go out and they would pick up the bread that God had given them. But we find out that as they journeyed," the Bible says in verse 4, "that the people became impatient, unhappy, because of the journey. And the people spoke against God and Moses. And this is what they said. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There was nothing unusual going on in the way of death. God had told them they were going to wander in the wilderness 40 years until all of those upwards of 20 years of age who rebelled against God, who said, we can't go into the promised land, we can't do it. God had said, you're going to wander in the wilderness until everybody that was over 20 that said no had died. And they were going to die in the wilderness. But they were dying in the wilderness because they disobeyed God. And God had pronounced judgment upon them. And God said, you're going to die in the wilderness because of your sin. Now they're wanting to know, why did you bring us out here to die? And then they said, for there is no food and no water. And we loathe this miserable food. Now, first of all, they said, we don't have anything to eat. You know, it's amazing how when you get unhappy, you have a tendency to exaggerate. Now, they'd already sinned by not being grateful. They were ungrateful. They were unthankful. Listen, what if you couldn't feed yourself? What if you had no money to feed your family? What if you had no money to feed yourself? What if there was nothing in your cupboards, no money to buy it with? You were just absolutely helpless. And then suddenly God provided food for you to eat. And every morning while you're disabled to feed yourself, God fed you. And that's what God was doing. And they were unhappy about the way God was doing it. And they just said to God, we hate this miserable food you give us. What a lot of people. But my friend, we have much more than they do, and we get very unhappy with God way too often. There's a lot of unsatisfied people in this world. And God says, do everything without complaining. And yet we complain all the time. Listen to me, folks. We're no more less guilty than they were. But they were complaining. They were unhappy. They were cursing God. And they were cursing Moses. My friend, God hates sin. So the Lord, verse 6 says, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. I mean, that day God sent fiery serpents, and that day snakes were everywhere, and poisonous snakes were everywhere biting people, and everybody that got bit died. I'm telling you, the number of people that had died and were dying got to be an amazing number of people very rapidly. Death was everywhere. Death and dying was everywhere. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. And they said, intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Moses did what they asked. He prayed. And the Lord said to Moses, in other words, Moses said, Lord, would you remove these things? And the Lord didn't do what they wanted him to do, but he did something. The Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. Make a serpent probably out of brass, probably out of fired bronzed brass. And God had put this metal in a fire and sent it through the fire, out of which Moses molded a serpent in the likeness of the serpents that were biting them. And God told Moses to put it upon a standard or upon a pole. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And so Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked, to the bronze serpent, he lived. Nicodemus had an interest, no doubt, in going into the kingdom of heaven. And our Lord Jesus Christ knew that Nicodemus was interested in eternal life, that when he died, what was going to happen to him. And Nicodemus wanted to know that when he died, he would go into heaven. But Nicodemus did not want to believe maybe what he had heard about Jesus. And so Nicodemus, fearing what others would think about him and maybe fearing of what would happen to him if they knew he went to Jesus, he went to Jesus by night. And he said, "Master, I know you're a teacher come from God." And Jesus, knowing Nicodemus's heart, and Jesus having a desire to see Nicodemus saved. Jesus just cut away from all the other stuff that didn't matter. And he said, "Nicodemus, you have to be born again if you're going to go into the kingdom of heaven." And Nicodemus couldn't understand what Jesus was talking about. And so he said to Jesus, "I don't understand that." But Jesus didn't give up. Jesus didn't just, "Oh, well." Jesus told him this story about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. And he said, just like Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And because Nicodemus was very familiar with that story and he knew what Jesus was talking about, God the Holy Spirit gave Nicodemus understanding. And Nicodemus now understood what he must do to be saved, and what Jesus had done on the cross for Nicodemus to be saved. Now, I want to go back to you because our text says, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, and he says to us, "I, the Son of Man, I'm going to have to be lifted up on a cross." And just like they had to look at the serpent of brass upon the pole to be saved, you have to look to me if you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so the children of Israel sinned and they were bitten, and it was because of their own sin and because of their own belief, and they had lied and they were unhappy, and God sent the judgment of the fiery serpents upon them. God sent the judgment of the fiery serpents upon him. God sent a curse upon the children of Israel and judged them and punished them because of their sin. And God had Moses to put a serpent upon a pole. And he told them, You tell everyone when they're bitten to go and look at the pole and they'll live. And if you look at the pole, you'll live. And if you don't, you'll die. And our text tells us that everybody that was bitten and dying, everybody that was cursed, everybody that judgment had been passed upon them by God and they were dying, every single person that looked at the pole lived. But those who didn't died. And so every bitten sinner that looks for deliverance was delivered. And Jesus is showing Nicodemus in our text that there's no other way for you and I to go to heaven and escape hell than by looking to Jesus. There's no question that many of those looked at, at the pole, said, "That's stupid." They weren't delivered. Looking meant more than just seeing it on your way. "Oh yeah, I see it." There's a lot of people say, "Oh yeah, I know who Jesus is. Oh yeah, I know Jesus died on the cross. Oh yeah, I know that." That kind of look doesn't save. It's looking and believing God, looking. And when those people were bitten and they said, man, there's one hope for me. There's only one hope for me. I'm going to find the pole and I'm going to look at it because God said if I looked, I'd live. And everybody that believed God and looked at the serpent on the pole, when they were bitten and dying, they lived. And there was no other way for them. Can you imagine going up and telling Gary Josie, Gary, you're going to have to look at the pole or you're going to die, man. Gary Josie said, man, I've been around a long time. I know better than looking at a pole. And Dennis say, Gary, you better do what God said. Amen. I'm just telling you, my friend, there's only one way. And I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you don't understand. I'm telling you, folks, there's one way to be saved and only one way for anybody in the world, and that is to look by faith, believing that God will do what he says. And those who looked lived. Now, there are four things in our text in the book of Numbers, in the story of the book of Numbers. There are four things I want you to see. And the first one is what I call the plight of sinners. I was not smart enough to come up with that. I found someone else that came up with it for me. I guess they knew I was going to preach a sermon one of these days, and I didn't have enough sense to come up with four things that sounded alike. But be that what it may, I want you to understand four things. The first one is the plight of sinners. Those people understood the judgment and the condemnation of their sins. They understood they were bitten and they were dying. How did they understand that? Because this guy had been bitten and he died. This guy had been bitten and he died. God said, if you'll look at the pole, you'll live. And yet everybody was getting bitten and dying and bitten and dying and bitten and dying. And God says, you got to look at the pole. So when they went to look at the pole, they were admitting, God, I am a guilty sinner. I'm dying. Poison was flowing in their bloodstream. They knew they were guilty. It didn't take very long till there were hundreds and then thousands of people dying and dying of guilt, dying of condemnation. Who sent the fiery serpents? God did. Why did he send them? Because of their sin. The plight of sinners is you sin against God, you're going to die and be separated from God in hell forever, and God's going to do it. God's going to do it, my friend. You're under condemnation because you've sinned against God. They also knew death would get them. They knew it. They could see it. Death was getting this one, and death was getting that one, and that one, and that one. And they knew it was only a matter of time till death would get them. They were afraid of death. They cried out, Moses, do something. Yes, ask God. My friend, I'm going to tell you, if you're here and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you've never looked to Jesus, looking for deliverance. You know, there's a lot of people that have looked at Jesus. They've looked, they've heard, they know the stories. They've seen pictures. My friend, that's not going to save you. Looking to Jesus for deliverance. Looking to Jesus to save you. Believing what God said about Jesus and believing that what God said will happen, that saves us. And so it's true of us. Unless we look to the Savior for deliverance, we're going to die and go to hell. So it was a picture of our condemnation. Because of your sin, God has condemned you. Because of your sin, you're already judged. You're already condemned. The poison of eternity in hell is already in you. And yet some of those were still walking around. I don't know how long it took them to die after they were bitten. I don't know if it was an hour, if it was a few hours, if it was a few days. I don't know if it was different from one to the other. The Bible doesn't tell us. But after someone was bitten, you could say they were the walking dead. They were still walking, but they were spiritually condemned by God to eternity in hell. And you may be part of the walking dead today. You're under the just condemnation of God. All kinds of people walking around with judgment already passed upon them. The Bible says if you have not already believed in the name of the Son of God, you're already condemned. And so you're spiritually dead, walking dead. And you're part of the spiritually dead because of sin. Now, some of you are hoping there's another way. Or you're hoping that you can go to heaven without believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting of your sin and turning to Christ. And you're hoping that it won't happen to you. But listen to me, it will happen to you. And you will die in your sin. And you must look to Jesus. And so what you ought to do is pray for yourself. Oh God, please show me my guilt and my condemnation. Show me, God, there's no other way. So there's a picture of the plight of sinners. We're a condemned people until we come to faith in Jesus. Number two, there's a picture of the provision of the Savior. God has provided a way. They were dying. They were dying. Everybody bitten was dying. And God told Moses to put a serpent upon the pole and tell everybody to look at the serpent and they'll live. And God provided them a way. And it was a serpent upon a pole. And if a man looked at the serpent upon the pole, he lived. And if a man didn't look at the serpent upon the pole, he died. And the serpent was a picture of the curse. I don't have time to labor that very much. But the very thing that would deliver them in the Old Testament, the very thing that would save them, looking at a serpent upon the pole, the serpent was a picture of the curse. And the Bible says about Jesus that Jesus became a curse for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But God the Son became cursed by God the Father for us. And God poured out His wrath on the Son of God on the cross of Calvary. And He died in our place. And that's what Moses was picturing. Way before Christ had ever come, Moses was already saying, when Jesus comes, He's going to die on the cross and pay the penalty of our sin and suffer the wrath of God in our place. They made a serpent out of bronze. And I don't know all that God intended in that, but I believe this was intended by God. You notice I've shifted from telling you the clear, plain teaching of the Word of God and what I believe. But I do believe that the fiery serpent, the brass, the bronze, had gone through the fire as a picture to you and I that what you and I were due, what you and I should have suffered, the fires of the wrath of God, my friend, it was burned out in Jesus. Someone said the only safe place to be in a horrible fire is where it's already burned. And the fires of God's wrath was burned out completely in Jesus for all of those who would ever believe. The question is, are you standing in Jesus Christ? The fire of God's wrath that was intended for you Has it been burned out in Jesus? And do you know that? Because you are one of those who have put your faith in him. But be it you or someone else, God poured out upon Christ the wrath of God. The burning fire of the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. For all of those of us who would ever say yes to Jesus. It's paid. Hallelujah. God did it that way so you and I would know that it's only in Christ. It's in Christ alone that the wrath of God is satisfied. In Christ alone, only in Jesus, can anybody be saved. There's no other way. There was not another way in Moses' day. There's not another way today. You cannot be saved by being a good Methodist. You can't be saved by being a good Baptist. You can't be saved by being a good Hindu. You can't be saved by being a good Buddhist. My friend, there's one way. And that is by looking to Jesus Christ who died on the cross to pay for our sin. That's the only way for anybody to be saved. But hallelujah, it is a way for anybody to be saved. It doesn't matter if you're raised in Africa or America, Asia, or anywhere else. My friend, Jesus is the way. And he's the only way. So we've got the plight of sinners, we've got the provision of our Savior, and we have the plan of salvation. Very simple. Very simple in Moses' day. If you're bitten, if you're cursed by God, if you're dying for your sins, and they did and you will, there was one way. The plan of salvation was this. Look at the serpent and you'll live. That was what they had to do. And there's only one way today. The plan of salvation is look to Jesus and be saved. Look. I just say look. Not look plus anything else. Look. To Jesus. Now, the Word of God describes that word look in different ways, but it's the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be granted the privilege of being a child of God. Come unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, everything is saying the same thing. No, when you say look, when they said, look, when Moses said, look, that meant you do what God said. And you go to the pole and you look, believing when you see the serpent on the pole, you're going to live. Believe God and do what God said. Look, believing. And my friend Jesus said, the Son of Man is lifted up on the cross. He became a curse for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He suffered the wrath of God for us. He took our place. Jesus died for all of those who would ever believe. Three little simple things about that. When a sinner was bitten and he came to the pole, he was confessing he was guilty. Amen? When a man came and looked at that pole, he was saying to God, I've been bitten and I'm dying and there's no hope for me but the pole. Have you ever come to a place in your life that you said to God, I'm guilty, I'm a sinner, I'm dying and going to hell and there's no hope for me except looking to Jesus? If you've never confessed that, you're not going to heaven. I don't know how you confess it in your mind, in your heart, with someone, by yourself. But my friend, just like Moses lifted up the serpent, Jesus hung on the cross. And at some point in your life, you've got to look at Jesus and say, I'm here because I'm a sinner. And there's no hope for me except you. Secondly, you're saying to Jesus, I know that you're the remedy. I know you suffered in my place. I know you died. And I accept that for me. God, I know Jesus is the remedy. I know I'm a guilty sinner. I'm here saying that. I know Jesus died on the cross. He paid for my sin. And I know he's the remedy for my sin. I believe that. And then you say to Jesus, I look to you to save me. Amen? Lord, I look to you. I'm not looking to my mom, my dad, my religion. Jesus, I'm looking to you. Hanging upon a cross, I'm looking to you, Jesus. Save me. And hallelujah, all those who look live. Amen? Folks, it was a successful plan. They got bit by a serpent. They were dying. Everybody was dying around them and got bit by a serpent. Except those who looked. And those who looked lived. It was a successful plan. Listen to me, you're dying, you're going to hell. The judgment of God is upon you. You may be the walking dead. You may be walking around. It may not have happened yet, but it's going to. If God, the Holy Spirit, would let you see you're a guilty, condemned, dying, going to hell sinner, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life, and that what you needed to do is believe that Jesus is the remedy for your sin and look to Jesus. Look, God, you died on my cross for me, and I know if I look, you'll live, and God, I am looking. Save me. Folks, look to Jesus and you can live. If you'll not receive God's remedy that saves believers, know that it'll condemn rejectors. You can look and live, or you can fail to look and be cast into hell forever. You cannot ignore the Son of God upon the cross. He came to die on the cross to pay for the sins of all of those who would ever believe. And you can look to him believing, or you can fail to look. However you fail, you say, well, I just didn't believe it, so I didn't look. Or someone told me there's another way, and so I didn't look. It doesn't matter why you don't look. There was one way, and God pictures that clear and plain. There's one way. There's one way for Baptists. There's one way for Methodists. There's one way for Lutheran. There's not a way for all of them. There's not a different way for each one. There's one way. There's one way for people from America or Africa. There's one way for people that were raised Hindu or raised Buddhist or raised Christian. There's one way. And you've got to look to Jesus, believing he died on the cross for your sins. And by looking, you can be saved. Hallelujah. And lastly, I'm going to tell you, there's a picture of the power of God to save. Death was all around them. Graves everywhere. Some of them had been bitten, maybe already feeling sick, dying. Maybe they weren't even feeling sick. They were still dying. And everybody that has never looked to Jesus is already dying. You're already condemned. You're already judged. The plight of the sinner is certain. The provision of the Savior is the only provision, but it's an adequate provision. There's only one plan, and that is looking to Jesus by faith, trusting Him. And there's power in the blood of Jesus to save. Those that looked, lived. Those that were almost dead, and yet they looked, they lived. Those that were starting to feel sick, and they looked, immediately they were alive. But if they didn't look, they died and went to hell. If they didn't look, they died and went to hell. But the power of God is the remedy of our sins, the remedy for our malady, the solution for our sinfulness, our lostness, our eternity, has power to save. And all of those who look by faith to Jesus are going to be saved. For God so loved the world that whoever would believe in Him, whoever would look believing, whoever would look trusting, whoever would put their faith in the Son of God who died on the cross, would be saved. And there's power of God to save. Whoever looks, whoever looks, but only those who look. Have you looked? Oh yeah, preacher, I know about Jesus. No, have you looked? Oh yeah, I've heard that Jesus died on the cross. No, have you looked? Have you put your eyes on Jesus, the Son of God, who gave His life, who died on the cross, who suffered God's wrath to pay your penalty? Have you looked and say, Lord, save me? My friend, if you look to Jesus, you'll be saved. Have you looked? Maybe you need to look today. Maybe you've understood the clear presentation of the gospel today. And you say, preacher, I look right now to nothing else but Jesus. And I look with all of my heart to Jesus. I'm not looking to myself. I'm not looking to anything I could do. When they got bit by that serpent, do you think that some of them didn't go put salve on it? Do you think some of them didn't try a local solution? My friend, there's only one solution. And that is looking to Jesus, God's Son, who paid the penalty that was yours, so that if you would believe on Him, you could be saved. And if you've not done that sincerely in your heart, the beauty of God is you can do it today. Isn't that beautiful? You could have been in church all your life. You could have been members of three different churches and still be lost. You can be 80 years old and been a member of a church all your life. And you could say today, preacher, I don't think I've ever looked to Jesus to save me. I've looked to my works. I've looked to my attendance. I've looked to good things, preacher. I've looked to everything. But, preacher, I've never thrown away everything and said, Lord Jesus, I look to You. You know why it's so wonderful? Because if you've never looked to Jesus before, but you would look today, you can still be saved. Hallelujah. But if you don't look, I don't care how many times you've been baptized, how many churches you've belonged to, how many religions you've tried, how hard you've tried, what saves you is looking to the Savior who died on the cross. What a wonderful way. Isn't it a simple way? Isn't it plain and simple? Don't make something hard out of it. pray, Spirit of God, move so that my friends can receive Christ. Will you bow your heads? Sinner, what of you? Have you looked? Not have you joined the church? Not have you been good? Have you looked? Have you looked plus? Have you looked to Jesus alone? Believing he died on the cross for your sins. Believing that if you look, you'll be saved. And if not, would you say, Pastor, I believe today with all of my heart. I look to Jesus alone. And I trust him today as my Savior and my Lord. And if you can say that, Pastor, I trust Jesus today. I trust him right now. Hallelujah. Come and tell me about it. Amen. Walk down this aisle as Miss Karen begins to play and say, Pastor, I've taken Jesus today as my Savior and Lord. Today I put my faith in him. Today, Pete, preacher, I'm not playing games no more. Today I'm confessing to you I'm a sinner, I'm lost. He died on the cross for me, and I accept him today. I trust him today. Would you come? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. Let the things of this world grow strangely dim. But look to Jesus to save. Is there anyone who would come in repentance to be saved today? You know, if you didn't trust Jesus today, and if you haven't already trusted him, maybe God will give you another moment. Maybe God will give you another day. There's no promise of that. But go back and read the Word of God, or listen. You can listen to these sermons on John chapter 3 on our website, our church website, at North Cross at First Baptist Church. If you can't find it, call the office and Kara will help you find it. You got friends you're concerned about, why don't you tell them about the website so they can look and hear these sermons? Now, it'll take a few days to get this one up, but start looking at what's already there. Several of the sermons we've already shared will give you hope and encouragement. Maybe you've got friends that are lost, and if you could encourage them to look at the website and listen to these words. It's not me. I think you ought to be here if you could, but it's not being here that saves. It's the Word of God, and it's the Holy Spirit. And if someone will listen to the Word of God, they can be saved. Share our church's website so that people can hear the gospel. Amen.